Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
You may have wondered, as I did, about the different versions of the Bible that are being quoted today. The NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, was published in 1989 as a revision to the Revised Standard Version, which came out in 1952. Now, the New Revised Standard Version was written to be read at a high school level. It replaced some of the more archaic language in the earlier versions, thee and thou. It also replaced some of the more masculine-oriented words with gender-neutral words, which in some cases actually brought that version closer to the original biblical texts. The CEB, the second version quoted today, the Common English Bible, was published in 2011 to be read at a junior high level and incorporated even more contemporary language. And so, Matthew 6, 9 through 13 from the New Revised Standard Version. Pray then this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. And then from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 11. To you, Lord, belong greatness and power, honor, splendor, and majesty, because everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingship, and you are honored as head of all.
I confess to you that I'm not the kind of long-range planner who writes my sermons. Like, I don't write all the sermons for this before the series even starts. I write them week by week. Right? A lot of preachers do that. Now, I am long-range enough that I know that I knew we were doing this series weeks before we even started it. And we've got the next several series planned out. We've got most of a rough idea of worship planned out for the rest of 2021. Right? So I'm that kind of long-range planner, but I don't write these sermons except the week before. And I confess that as we've been journeying through the Lord's Prayer, that in my research and preparation for these sermons, frankly, I've learned a lot. Like I'm the kind of preacher who I like to learn as I prepare. So some of the things that I bring during a sermon are sometimes new concepts or new ideas for me. I hope that as you hear these sermons, that you hear new things, that you hear new ideas. Even if you don't agree with my ideas, even if you don't agree with what I say, I hope that you maybe hear something that helps you to look at something in a different way. I feel like my goal as a preacher is to help people see faith and spirituality in a new way. And maybe it's just tangential to something you've already seen, and maybe it's a completely wild new way of looking at faith. But I hope there's something a little bit different, a little bit of perspective for you, particularly in this conversation about the Lord's Prayer. Now, I asked you last week if reading through the different versions, and my thanks to Dave for sort of helping us talk a little bit more about that, I asked you last week if you you liked that we were reading from different versions, and the general, there were lots of nodding of heads, right? So the general consensus seems to be, yes, that's been a good thing. So as we look now at this final phrase in the Lord's Prayer, right? This is our last Sunday in this series. I confess to you that just in this preparation for today, I found it more challenging than I expected it to be. Not the study, not the research, but this phrase, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What are we saying when we say this. And I would even go so far as to say that it's risky for us to say this part of the prayer. Like, if we're really authentic about what it is that we're saying, if we're really paying attention to what we're saying, then I think saying this part of the prayer might be a bit risky. Now, Dave, at the end of last week's service, he came up to me. He said, I know we're talking about this phrase next week, but I don't read that in my Bible. Why do some churches say it and some folks don't? I want to talk about that briefly. I brought up two Bibles. This is my Wesley Study Bible, which is in the New Revised Standard Version, I brought it today because that's the version we read from. But I brought another Bible, and this one's substantially older. I have to be really careful with this Bible. If I open up the very first page, I'll see writing that has my mother's name in it. And the date, she got it for Christmas in 1957. Then if I turn the page, I see different writing that I'm pretty sure is my mom's writing. And it has her name and her parents' name. It has the date that her parents were married. It has her brothers and her. It has their names and birth dates. The way that sometimes we write in the front of our Bibles. It also has written, again, I'm pretty sure in her hand, the date in April of 1960 when her father died from cancer, when she was 12 years old. And I remember that I can't ask her about this Bible because she died from cancer when I was 12 years old. And yet I have this Bible and it warms my heart. Now this Bible is written in the King James Version. And I have it bookmarked here to Matthew 6. Because what's written here in this King James Version is a bit different than what we read. Not just because of the translation, but there's a whole extra phrase. See, Matthew 6, in this Bible it says St. Matthew. Matthew 6, verse 13, reads this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Why is it in this King James, but it's not in this New Revised Standard? That's the question you asked yesterday. And I have the answer. Well, I have an answer. Dave rightly pointed out that the New Revised Standard version was released in, I think you said, the 1980s. The King James Version was released in 1611. At the time, in scholarship, the earliest manuscripts we had of the New Testament included that phrase at the end of verse 13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But between 1611 and 1985, scholarship and archaeologists found earlier manuscripts. And that phrase was not included in the earlier manuscripts. So that's why the King James Version has that phrase, and newer translations that have access to older manuscripts do not have that phrase. Does this make sense to us? Are you sure? I'm not sure. I see some nodding heads and I see some shaking heads. Let me say it this way. In 1611, when this was finalized, archaeologists and scientists hadn't found some of the older manuscripts. I can't remember when the Dead Sea Scrolls, for instance, were found, but I'm sure it was well after 1611, and I'm sure it was before 1985. I want to say it was the 1960s, if I remember that correctly. Maybe I'm wrong, may have to research that, but I'm sure it was before. People are reaching for their phones, I love it. I'm sure it was before 85 and after 1611. We learned a ton when we had access to the Dead Sea Scrolls because they were earlier manuscripts. So what I'm saying is when folks wrote and translated for the King James Version, they didn't have access to all the information. What it also tells us, I see a hand in the back. 1947 and a second discovery in 1956. That's for the Dead Sea Scrolls. Thank you. Teenagers are better with phones than we are, at least faster, aren't they? Good. So one of the things this tells us is that when the translators wrote down the King James Version, they just didn't have access to the earliest manuscripts. What that also tells us is that this phrase was added to manuscripts later. Now, if you find that troubling, that's okay. It was added to manuscripts. Now, let's think about what that phrase is. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You know what that is? We see it at the end of Psalms. We saw it in the text that was on the screen from 1 Chronicles, which is actually the end of a phrase from David. It's a doxology. We know what a doxology is, don't we? We're used to singing a doxology when we can sing together. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Doesn't that sound like a doxology? Do you know what the word doxology means? If we look at the Greek roots, the second part of doxology comes from the root of logos, the word. The first part of doxology comes from a Greek root that means praise. Doxology is words of praise. So someone, somewhere along the line, added this doxology, these words of praise, to the Lord's Prayer, to the Matthew text. This is a powerful prayer. Our Father, we're connected, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive others. Lead us, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a powerful prayer. Is it good and is it right? Is it acceptable to include at the end of a prayer like this words of praise? For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. But I would suggest that not only is this doxology words of praise, not only is it something that we might think of to praise God, but we might also look at this concluding phrase as our commitment. As our commitment to recognize God as holy. To recognize our connection with one another. Our commitment to recognize that we are in need of sin. And that we ask forgiveness not only just because we ask for forgiveness, but ask for forgiveness in the same way that we forgive others. Remember the way I pushed on that phrase a few weeks ago? God, the same way I forgive somebody else, please forgive me. Our commitment to seek forgiveness and to forgive. Our commitment to follow God, not into temptation, but in deliverance from evil. I mentioned a few weeks ago that early Christians prayed this prayer 3 times a day. And I asked the question, what would it look like if we prayed this prayer 3 times a day? What if we prayed this prayer 3 times a day and recognized that phrase as our commitment to actually follow it? At the end of our sermon last week, I invited you to say the Lord's Prayer every day. You might split it up into different parts of the day. You might just do it all at once. If you're willing, I wonder if you'd be willing to show me your hand if you've been praying the Lord's Prayer every day over that course of the last week. I see several. Here's my question to you. And maybe you can raise your hand, or maybe you can nod your head, or shake your head if the answer is negative. Has it made a difference for you? Has something changed for you? What if you continue this practice, and every time you get to this phrase, "For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever," you say it as though you're making a commitment, a promise to God. What will that mean for you? How will it change this prayer for you? Consistently through the Gospels, Jesus tells us, don't look at earthly things, look at divine things. What if this section of the prayer is our commitment to look more fully at God, to see God in all of God's infiniteness, to commit to God, to rely on God, to give ourselves over fully and completely to God? Do you see why I say that this part of the prayer is risky? Because I think the idea of giving ourselves completely to God can be terrifying. Because I'm not sure we're wired that way. Like, I believe that we're created in the image of God, but I think somewhere along the line we're wired in such a way that sometimes seems pretty selfish. I gotta tell you, when I look at the world, and I've said this before, I see a problem with cultural narcissism. Sometimes we can be selfish creatures, my friends. And if we are to pray this prayer every day, oh my goodness, if we're to pray it three times a day, and we are to say that here is my commitment, for thine is the kingdom, and thine is the glory, and thine is the power forever. I think if we do that and do it authentically, we take a step closer to the image of God in which I believe that we're created. Can we do this thing? Can we pray this prayer and mean it? When we assign everything in the world to God, including ourselves, what would that mean in our lives? You know, I've got this thing coming up, and I could probably help out that person who asked me for help, but I'd really like a nap today. I haven't had a lot of time to care for, you know, cleaning my house or these other things. I know that somebody asked me for something, but what if you think about how that's not your time anyway? That's God's time. What if we look at this congregation? Boy, that pastor, he preaches in sort of a weird way. He wants to do this newfangled technology stuff. That's my church. What if we were to say this isn't our church, but it's God's church? What if we were to look at the community in which we live and give ourselves fully so that we can build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? What if in the back of our mind, every time we face a hard decision, we say, this is not me, but I am acting as an agent of God. And I will be informed looking at heavenly things and not earthly things. Because this is not my planet, this is not my space, this is not my time, this is not my air that I'm breathing, this is not my universe, this is God's. Does it feel scary? Does it feel risky? I would submit that I do too. And I would submit that it's worth it. May we pray this prayer. our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen.